Stanton's Richard Adams is officially here to talk about his musical Woody, based on the life of Woodrow Wilson. But the story of the musical's inception is a circuitous one. It stretches back to the early 1990s, when musician-composer Adams abandoned his secure state paycheck as a teacher to do what he really wanted to do, which had something to do with music. By then, Richard, who graduated from JMU skilled in playing multiple instruments, had a home sound production studio. And then, one fateful day, Richard Adams went to the dentist.
And I was at the dentist, and I was sitting in the dental chair, and I had a cavity, and he put the headphones on. And I started listening to the headphones, and he got the drill out. Started drilling. It didn't bother me. So I just was sitting there, and I had this idea. I said, you know, how am I going to pay for my dental bill? So, and it just hit me. My mother was a public health nurse. She used to go and help, you know, get kids free dental appointments and go to the Lions Club and get glasses. You know, she worked with a lot of kind of poor kids. And she had the big teeth and the big toothbrush. And I had to give a speech in high school, and I was horrified to give a speech. And I remember the person said, well, you know, if you just talk about something, they're looking at that and they're not looking at you. It's easier. So I took the big toothbrush and the big teeth, and I showed them how to brush their teeth. And I had this kind of cathartic moment in the dentist chair. I said, I know what I can do. I'll create a timed toothbrushing song, because I'd had, you know, I knew 21 days makes a habit, and you have all these counseling classes, everything I'd ever learned. And I'll put it on a cassette, and I'll sell it to the dentist for $2, because I can make it for a dollar. And if I sell 60 of them, I can pay my dental bill.
Brush your teeth. Now spit. Very good, boys and girls.
Richard Adams and his buddy Rick Sizemore, now director of the Woodrow Wilson Rehabilitation Center, made a little business out of Dr. Toothbrush.
And so we did a brushing, flossing, and rinsing song. The idea was to sell it to dentists to give away. We went to a convention. We talked to all these dentists. We had time to hand them a tape, and they were looking at us like, this is really cool. You know, ended up with a toothbrush suit. I wore that. I was Dr. Toothbrush. He was Cowboy Bob Macross, which rhymes with floss. This is the head of the Woodrow Wilson Rehabilitation Center we're talking about here. and then paid my dental bill. It's paid my dental bill. It turned into an assembly, which eventually turned into one of the things I do now, which is the I Can Man show, which is a kids' motivational interactive music show where I go into elementary schools and I do a show about bullying. I have a character show, and I have an SOL pep rally. Couple months a year, I go and do the SOL tour, and then the rest of the year, I do the bully character show. And I do about 50 or 60 of those a year. So
how do we get from Dr. Toothbrush to a musical about Woodrow Wilson, whom I have to say, if I thought of all the American presidents, Woodrow Wilson might seem like the least likely musical candidate?
Well, in 2003, I was playing for a musical at Oak Grove Theater. Jennifer Kirkland, a good friend of mine, was directing the show. It was company. They have these cast parties on Saturday night, and they sit around and talk about being famous. They act like they don't have day jobs most times, you know. and they says, "Oh, we should write a show." You know, you hear all these conversations going on, and then somebody drinks something, and then they say it more. Anyway, they were talking about writing a show, and then somebody says, "We should do this," and somebody says, "No, they've already done that." So I was riding home. And I crossed Woodrow Wilson Parkway, and I looked up and I got thinking, Woodrow Wilson. They should write a show about Woodrow Wilson. He's in Stanton. I mean, everything makes sense. It's easy to market. If I have any questions, I know people that work there. You know, I had the trivia. It would be easy to sell. I mean, just everything about it made sense.
Did you know anything about Woodrow Wilson?
Not much.
Not much.
Yeah, just
okay. The
basic Stanton, you know, guys lived in Stanton for 20-some years stuff. So my first thought was, God, that would be boring, because you see that picture of him, that pompous looking, you know, he had a PhD from Johns Hopkins, you know, that picture of this guy going like, what a boring guy. What an academic. It's like he should be teaching philosophy at school, you know. Anyway, and he'd just lecture and never answer a question, you know. And then I got thinking, how could you become president and be boring? I mean, Nixon was kind of a boring guy in his own way, too. But his quirkiness made him, you know, lovable in his own little way. And I said, maybe there's something about him I don't know. So I went back the next night, and Jenny Howard was in the play. And Jenny's can be a little sarcastic. Anyway, and I looked at her and said, I've got this great idea. And everybody kind of looked at me, and there was this moment. And they said, I'm going to do a show about Woodrow Wilson. And Jenny looked at me and said, so what's the first song going to be? Stanton, it's a nice place to be born, but I wouldn't want to live there. It made me mad. And I said, I'm going to show her. So she's in the show, by the way. she plays his first wife, Ellen. So I kind of wrote stuff on pieces of paper and, you know, and had ideas.
Songs,
yeah. And I was thinking, what's going to be the catch? And then it would dawn on me. I said, you know, 1913, that's like ragtime. This doesn't have to be, you know, a melodrama.
Woodrow Wilson's president, he's leader of the land, yeah.
So I said, you know, I can use that for the music. I said, how am I going to tell the story? Because it seemed rather formal and Victorian. And one day I found out, I was interviewing the historian at the Woodrow Wilson.
For the musical?
Yeah, about the, yeah,
you
yeah.
I just said research.
And what I said was, break his life down into four parts for me. Let's just simplify this to start with. I want to make it like a fifth grade history book. So I started finding out about his young life, where he was in Stanton basically for 11 months, but his mother would come back and visit. When he was born, one of the servants in the house was an African-American lady, and she had a child. His name was Frank. And when they would come back and she would visit with Mary Baldwin, her buddy, Mary Julia Baldwin, at that girls' school, as they say, he would play with this kid. So it just
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson would play with this kid. This is kind of folklore, but it's also, they've proven that she did come back and there was some connection between these two guys. I said, I'm going to make him the narrator.
My great, great, great grandfather was from Africa, I was told. He was captured by his people, then he was chained up, and then he was sold. They placed him in the bottom of this ugly wooden boat. It seemed like years till he landed in a place he didn't know. They took him to this town so he could do as he was told. This man, this boy, was only 12 years old.
I made the song sometimes very serious. They're Calvinists. They believe in predestiny. And so there's a lot of destiny, and he was very driven. Wilson, as I found out later, was really learning disabled. He had horrible dyslexia. His dad worked with him, and he trained him to speak and to write. And I've worked with a lot of LD kids being a counselor. And generally, when I work with music students and actors, if they're a little LD and they have a hard time learning their lines, they figure out a way to do it. And by the time they know them, they just don't know the line. It's in their soul. You know, and I think, I mean, I've learned that. And when I watch Wilson's life, I said, I really think by the time he got through, it was in his soul. And this is just my own guess, but he seemed to just like be so passionate about it. And he had to work so hard at speaking. When he was at Princeton as president, I mean, he was like teacher of the year every year. People would line up to get in his classes.
So how long did it take you to write Woody?
The first part of it happened rather quickly. I started writing, I'd record it, and then I would like give it to people. You know, I'd like give it to Jennifer Kirkland. She was traveling a little bit, and she'd go, Richard, you got to keep this going. This is going to work.
What was the first song?
The first song I wrote was actually in 1856 on a cold December morn. A child by the name of Thomas Woodrow Wilson was born. I just wrote it down on a sheet of paper, and I went, I'm going to make this kind of a quasi Lawrence Welk, Statler brother, you know, kind of gospel quartet thing, because that's the last thing someone would expect when they saw a show about Woodrow Wilson. I'm going to just throw them off immediately.
Well, in 1856, on a cold December morn, a child by the name of Thomas Woodrow Wilson was born. Between the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Allegheny, in a little old town called Staunton, 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 Staunton. Well, they made big history. Now Tommy's what they
The second song I wrote was the World War I song. I interviewed the historian, Rick Potter. Said, tell me about Wilson. He said, I'm writing my dissertation right now on World War I. I said, how did World War I start anyway? And he started telling me this guy, Ferdinand, knew this guy.
The assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand.
He hunted with this other buddy. He was his buddy. And then, you know, Pancho Villa got in. The Serbs got in. And I said, man. And he said, communication was happening faster than it had ever happened. It was kind of like the internet. He says, and basically because they weren't used to the speed of it, it caused a revolution. It caused a war. And that was his throw. So I had a checkbook stub, and you remember those things? Mm-hmm. People used to have checks.
Vaguely,
yeah,
vaguely.
They used to have checks. Yeah. So I guess I'd write it on the back of a credit card now. And I just wrote everything in order on the back of a checkbook stub, like I was depositing them in. And I went in and wrote the song in order. It's a silly little song.
So what started World War I anyway?
His name
name was Ferdinand, the heir to Austria. Some countries did not like him, like most of Serbia. So they decided to kill him and shot him really dead. The Serbs, they shot at Ferdinand, he's really, really dead. The Serbs, they shot at Ferdinand, he's really, really dead.
What does this show mean to you?
Somebody asked me the other day. It's the first thing I ever wrote. I mean, I was like 44 years old when I wrote this show. And it was the first thing that I was fortunate in high school to have a really good teacher that was my band director who put on really good musicals. He ended up in Miami at a magnet school, you know, like kind of a fame kind of school. But he was in this little punky school, high school, and we put on these shows and all these, there's like playwrights out of this school and, you know, and theater teachers at college and, you know, and I was one of these guys that played in the pit orchestra. And because of that, I knew everything about a musical, and I didn't know I knew everything about a musical, how the sets worked, just everything. So I just did this as something that I kind of knew how it worked. But I guess what it really means to me is that I took everything I knew from playing in a moose club with a band to working with little kids. And, you know, because if little kids understand something, then adults get it. You know, if you can break something complicated down for a little kid and get them to understand it, if you say the same thing to an adult, they get it too, and they'll understand it because you've taken it to its core. And this kind of describes to me how I've learned how to do that. It's kind of the ultimate teacher, you know, except it's when I wrote the show, I said I want it to be entertaining, number one, because most people do not like history. They didn't like history in school, and I've been surrounded by people that like people in history. And that's what it's all about. It's not dates. It's people. It's their lives. How can I relate this to what's happening now? That's what history teaches us, you know. And I was able to put all that together, and it needed to be entertaining, and it needed to be historically accurate, because I knew in Stanton I would get dogged if I had any wrong details in it. So I tried to get both those things in the show and make it accessible to everyone.
My name is Woodrow Wilson.
New production of Woody. Mounted by Shannon Arts, premieres tonight at the Intellis Theater in Stanton. It basically runs this weekend and next weekend. You'll find a link to the Shannon Arts website on the Spark page at WMRA.org.
Woodrow Wilson's president, he's leader of the land, yeah!